views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm speaking to you today from sunny, cloudy, rainy, who knows what, Seattle.
Ooh, the potpourri of weather today.
Yes, exactly. Yay! Here at Hubbard Radio on KKNW AM 1150. You may be listening somewhere in Connecticut, Rhode Island, or New York on WBLQ AM 1230, somewhere across the United States on cable radio network through your television, or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. But I tell you, wherever you're listening from today, you're going to be really glad you joined us. We are going to be talking about something very fascinating, but I'm not going to tell you what that is quite yet. First, I want to say hello to my better half here in the studio who allows you to hear these wonderful conversations. Mr. Benny Mathers. Hi, Benny.
Hi, good day, Christine.
Good day, and happy Friday to you.
Thank you, and yes to you, too. I'm so happy it's arrived. We're almost done. Well, I'm almost done. I don't know about your day, but it's been a long one already.
Well, you know, I'm passionate about my work, and my work includes some writing, and I never know exactly when I'm going to be working. So Friday doesn't mean the same to me as it did once upon a time.
But, that's where I'm at, apparently.
But work doesn't mean the same to me as it did once upon a time. I love what it is I do.
And I love it too. There's just some times where I need to just step away and breathe for a minute.
Yes.
And then I can go back at it again.
So. Yeah. And you need to be exposed to those wonderful kids of yours.
Oh,
those
my little nuggets.
Have they turned five yet?
Yeah. It was back on the 10th. And so they're almost 2 weeks into it already. And so they're having a wonderful time and enjoying five. They're acting a lot older than that, which kids usually do. So.
They do. They do. They
thinking they know everything.
They do.
Ha ha. Parents no more.
So, you think,
right. So you
just
think,
you
right.
wait, just you wait.
Right?
Yeah. Before I get into our wonderful guests who are joining us here today, I wanted to remind listeners, if you live in the Seattle area or if you're coming to the Seattle area sometime soon, I'm going to be presenting at the Women of Wisdom Conference on February 15th. I'm really excited about this. Been invited to speak there. I will be talking about the vibration of change, which is this unifying model that looks at what is it that is required for all positive lasting change, regardless of whether you're talking about healing an illness, shifting relationships in your life, changing the way you feel about your family, you know, whatever it is. There are some very specific principles that you've probably never heard about before that are required for all positive lasting change. And when you learn this and you see this from this new perspective, it can inform you as an individual how you can become more empowered to create positive, lasting change in your life. Again, it's February 15th at the Women of Wisdom Conference. If you go to ChristineUpchurch.com to the events, you can click on that and register from there or learn more about it on my website. Okay, so enough of the announcements, enough of the chit-chat. I want to share with you what we're going to be talking about today. Today we're going to be talking about spiritual dimensions of life before birth. We've talked about past lives recently. You know, we talk a lot about our lives as they are, you know, here as we're processing them as adults and processing things from childhood. But right now we are talking about life before birth. Do we choose our parents before birth? Is there a pre-birth state of consciousness? And if so, what is it? And are there people who remember this so that they can, at this stage of their lives or as children, share with us what it's like to choose, what it's like at conception, what it's like to be in utero with your family around you doing what they do, and how does it inform us in terms of who we are in this life? So, Doctors Elizabeth and Neil Carman have written this wonderful book. It's called Cosmic Cradle: Spiritual Dimensions of Life Before Birth. And they have done a lot of research, not only collecting information from people who have these memories, but connecting it to various cultures around the world. Memories of birth, memories of time in the womb, and what is it that is our spiritual existence, our consciousness, so to speak, prior to conception and within the womb. Elizabeth Carman is a pre-birth educator. She's got a BA in psychology. She has an honorary PhD for pre-birth research. And Neil Carman, he has taught biology and the science of consciousness at the University of Texas in Austin. Texas is where I'm from originally, so I've got a deep love for that area. And together again, they are the authors of Cosmic Cradle: Spiritual Dimensions of Life Before Birth, 100 pre-birth stories from contemporary people, as well as pre-birth reports from 108 cultures. I'd like to welcome Elizabeth and Neil. Thanks for joining us here today. Welcome.
Thank you so much. We're so happy to talk with you and share what we're finding out.
You know, Christine, it's great to be here.
This is fascinating research, and the stories themselves are really interesting. I'm curious, though, considering, you know, where you've come from, what inspired you to begin researching this further and ultimately writing this book?
Well, I'll have to start answering that question just briefly. I've always been interested in what's beyond the normal experience, or what humans can experience beyond what we see with our five senses.
Uh-huh.
So this subject came up to me when I was doing some research on a magazine article on women who are giving birth without pain. And that was the doorway that just led into this whole subject matter, this topic. I had no idea that babies were conscious in the womb.
Uh-huh.
They remembered where they were before they came into mother's womb. They chose
right.
their parents. All these kinds of stories started flooding in. And so Neil and I have been researching this together. It's just been a wild adventure that it never stops. We are getting stories. Every day we are getting ready to launch our third book. We have a fourth book waiting in the wings.
Wow.
The amount of information and inspiring stories we're getting worldwide is just breathtaking. We're real excited about our work.
That's really exciting. So, Neil, you know, if you have been working in biology and science, what drew your interest into this about the consciousness before birth?
Well, I've always seen that there is a science of consciousness,
mm-hmm.
and this has been emerging really since the 60s and 70s and 80s, and I participated actually in a brainwave research project when I began to practice meditation on a mm-hmm. daily basis in the 1970s. So both Elizabeth and I have been explorers and investigators in the science of consciousness for over 40 years,
mm-hmm.
and so that kind of led to this whole new area that we didn't expect, but we have learned a great deal from these souls, babies that are seeking to be born on Earth at this time. And so we began to get these reports from mothers, and now we're having them come in from around the world.
Wow. So can you just share with our listeners an example of a story? Because there are all these fascinating and some of them very different stories. What sorts of stories are out there?
Well, we aim to find the strongest stories, the ones that have evidence backing them up when a child tells a particular memory, or adults. A lot of adults are remembering this from childhood.
Uh-huh.
And if there's some element of their story that is verifiable, for example, Mom, was I placed with you and Dad when you were in the front seat of a car? What? We don't talk about that. Well, this little boy named Rennie asked his mother that when he was 7 years old. He,
uh-huh.
He'd been having this videotape in his mind for, you know, since he was a youngster, and he didn't talk about it, but finally he mentioned it to his mother, and his mother just cut him off immediately. And so
uh-huh.
he didn't talk about it. He held it in. And by the time he's 25 years old, he's wondering, well, you know, other people aren't talking about choosing their parents, aren't talking about seeing their mom and dad in bed, conceiving them. Well, maybe there's something wrong in my brain, you know, maybe I need to go and get some therapy. So he thought, well, let me put it to rest and go home and talk to mom and dad. So he's in the military. He's a 25-year-old man, married. He goes home specifically to settle this issue. Is he okay? Maybe I need some help. And he sets them down and says, you know, I want to talk about my conception. And do you remember where I was conceived? And his mother said, oh, that's over 25 years ago. How can we remember that? He said, well, what if I supply some details? Would you be able to verify them? So the mom and dad were starting to turn red in the face, but they said, okay, what do you remember? What do you want to say about it? And so he said, well, he remembered them in a car.
Uh-huh.
They were driving along a quiet country road, kissing and hugging in the front seat.
Uh-huh.
And there was his little sister in the back seat sleeping, lying down with her head towards the driver's side,
right,
hands up above her head. He described all these minute details. And he said, you know, you pulled off the car, pulled the car off on the side of the road and opened the door. And, you know, he described everything. And the parents said, what?
Oh, my goodness.
And the mother said to the father, Gus, you haven't been talking to this boy, have you? He said, no, Hilda, you know I won't talk about that. So they were extremely embarrassed. But he got a full confirmation that this memory that he had of, he actually was on a, like a, he described it like a ledge in an assembly of souls.
Uh-huh.
Each soul had a guide with them, and they were looking down at Earth, and he was actually given a choice of three sets of parents. He saw couple number one.
Uh-huh.
It was a bedroom scene, and he describes it all in our book. People can read the details. Couple number two, another bedroom scene.
Uh-huh.
Couple number three was this in the front seat of the car.
Uh-huh.
And he was told what his life would be like if he chose couple number one, number two, and three. You know, it was going to be pretty easy with number one. They were wealthy families. Things were going to go pretty smoothly, not much of a rough ride. Number two, kind of middle of the road. Number three, very challenging.
Uh-huh.
Lots of obstacles, difficult to meet your, you know, full potential.
Right.
But he questioned his guide. He said, but if I pick that number three, won't my rewards be greater?
Yeah.
The guide said, yes, but it's not going to be a piece of cake.
Uh-huh.
He said, that's the one I want. Are you sure?
Uh-huh.
Are you sure? He gives him three chances to back out. Randy said, nope, that's it. And then he felt himself spiraling down this, like a tunnel of light.
Uh-huh.
And the next thing he knows, he's 4 years old. He doesn't remember being in the womb. He doesn't remember the birth, but he remembers 4 years old and the family's talking about death because someone, and they've just come home from the funeral of a family member.
Uh-huh.
And then he says, and they're talking about, well, Aunt Jenny is back with the angels, trying to explain death to this little four-year-old.
Sure.
And then he thought in his mind, oh, yeah, I know what they're talking about. That's where I came from, and that's where I'm going to go back. I understood. He didn't say it to them, but he understood in his own mind.
Right.
So this is a very beautiful story because it's such a strong validation. Also, there's a lot of validation in terms of how his life played out and how he knew ahead of time life is going to be a rough ride. And he wasn't, even though it was very, very rough, and people can read the details, he had a sense of humor about it because he knew he chose it. He said, I'm 10 steps ahead of everybody else. I realized I picked this path. And he was comfortable with everything.
And it's so fascinating. And good for him for not, you know, forgetting that information as he grew into adulthood, because I think a lot of kids do. We have to go to a quick break, but more with these fascinating stories with Elizabeth and Neil Carman when we return here in a few moments.
My mama told me when I was young, we're all on superstars. She rolled my hair, put my lipstick on, in a glass of her boudoir.
Serenity Bliss Holistic Spa is a complete approach to wellness. Serenity Bliss offers integrated therapies for whole body health, from facials to massage, from laser skin treatments to herbal wellness, from chiropractic care to energy healing. We work with teens who want to put their best face forward, adults of all ages who want to maintain that youthful glow, and anyone who wants to enjoy vibrant well-being head to toe. Serenity Bliss Holistic Spa is bringing the European approach to restoring natural beauty and wellness here to the Seattle area. Located on the east side, off the beaten path, yet just minutes from the freeway. If you'd like to experience the joy of relaxation, skincare excellence, and total wellness, then come experience your Serenity Bliss. To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit SerenityBlissHolisticSpa.com. That's SerenityBlissHolisticSpa.com. Or call 206-229-0086.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections, with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelmed and stress? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breath to signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is. Sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's THEDRPatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with Drs. Elizabeth and Neil Carman, and we're talking about pre-birth memories and the dimensions that we come from and the information, you know, that they have gathered, and a whole lot of stories, as well as looking at cultures, you know, across the world and seeing validation there. You know, Neil, we've already heard a fascinating story about somebody who actually got to choose, like, you know, which set of parents and the validation that came through, which is just fascinating in and of itself. I'm wondering, though, Neil, do we end up having some sort of communication with our parents sometimes, like, you know, before conception, after conception?
Yes, I definitely think that there is kind of a group communication process going on within the families and between guides, unseen guides that are kind of hanging around with the unborn children that are waiting for the parents to grow up and maybe to find each other and get married and start having a family. Hmm. And so sometimes these kids report this process going on for years before they're able to sort of land down here into these families. So there's just all kinds of reports that this is a long-term planning process. It doesn't appear to be one that's kind of in spur of the moment or serendipitous, happening, you know, just in an instant. That, you know, the kids have even reported that, oh, Mom, I was waiting for you to be born, okay? I saw you when you were up in heaven, and I saw, you know, grandparents and all that. And so a few cases, the children have reported that, oh, well, they talk to their mother, parents about, you know, well, you weren't born at one point, okay? Mm-hmm. And maybe the child was in another body and another life.
Uh-huh.
So definitely there is a process involved, a planning process, and an agreement among many different souls involved.
Uh-huh.
And so what appears to us to be kind of just an accidental process, it's not.
Right.
Even sometimes the grandparents are, you know, up in the heavenly world, and they're helping the grandchildren be born into the families. And then as the little grandkids are growing up, they see a picture of grandpa, grandma, and they say, oh, I saw them up, you know. And then the mother, parents ask, well, how they were gone before you were born.
Right.
Oh, I saw them up in heaven, and I talked to them, and they helped me come down here to be with you.
So
the children just tell amazing stories. And if you only heard one or two of these, you might dismiss it as, you know, statistically insignificant.
Right.
But there's more and more of these cases coming in. And the children are very serious when they say these things.
Uh-huh.
They say it in a matter-of-fact tone. Over a period of time, they may say it consistently.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, for them to recognize their grandparents in pictures and saying, oh, I saw them up when I was in heaven.
Yeah.
And the parents are just baffled. Mm-hmm. So there's a great deal of this coming out, and we're very excited that, you know, we can share this with people.
Right. So, Elizabeth, if we are hearing more and more stories about it, do you feel that this is... it's just the information getting out there that's always been around? Or do you think that there's some sort of change underway that is having children and perhaps adults remember more and more information about their pre-birth?
Well, I'm leaning to that maybe it's been out there before, but I think it's progressively increasing. I think we are shifting into a newer age, a more enlightened time, and we're having higher beings. These children
right.
are very high consciousness who are coming in.
Uh-huh.
And I think this is a good sign for humanity and for planet Earth's
right.
future.
I agree.
And it's very inspiring to us because we've been doing these interviews and collecting these stories since the late 80s. And, you know, definitely the pickup now is like, it's on ultra speed.
Uh-huh.
So I, of course, you know, we have a wider reach now with the internet, but
uh-huh.
I think I really feel that it's pointing in the direction of a new future for the planet.
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly know that, you know, I've had experiences with my kids when they were younger. You know, I was telling you a story on the break about how after trying to birth at home with a midwife, I ended up needing some forceps help and ended up in a hospital with a doctor. And when my son, and they basically twisted him, turned him around before trying to pull him down and out. And my son, when he was like two or three, we're driving in the car one day, and all of a sudden he got angry and he said, "You hurt my leg when I was born." And I mean, he just went on and on and on. And my older son, you know, and I were kind of looking at each other like, yeah, he's talking about the day he was born. And we had never told him that, you know, oh, we had to turn, you know, the doctor turned you around and, you know, twisted you around. But he remembered. And so that, to me, was fascinating in and of itself about the birth. But we're talking about consciousness that goes well before the birth. And so I'm curious, Neil, do people actually, adults, have communication with their children sometimes before they're born?
Yes, absolutely. One person, Beverly, she didn't have Taylor for about 20, 25 years. She knew since she was a child that she was going to have one little boy, and she was communicating with him. He was hanging around for a long time, and as she was about to get married, she was diagnosed with cervical cancer, and she pleaded with the doctor to, you know, leave her enough reproductive tissue for a pregnancy, and that's all she ever had. And she did have one successful full-term pregnancy, and the boy is now a young adult, and he is a gifted being. And told her that he had memories. As soon as he could speak, he talked about what happened at his birth, where he wound up releasing from his kidneys. He peed on the delivery doctor, and everybody laughed, okay? And he told his mother later about that as evidence that he remembered what was happening at his birth.
Right.
Plus, he also had certain desires for her to eat grapes and cottage cheese and chocolate during the pregnancy. And the doctor was amazed because actually she had what the doctor felt was a perfect diet, that she didn't need any vitamins because she was eating so many things. But Beverly said that she got a great deal of telepathic you know, information of what to eat from the boy. And so it was amazing because she had had the cervical cancer, and the doctor had warned her, Beverly, I don't know if you'll ever be able to have a pregnancy, and even a full-term pregnancy, you know, not very good chances, but she did. And so it's an amazing story, and Beverly credits little unborn Taylor with communicating with her as to what to eat every day. And
that's
so that's documented in our book.
Yeah, and that on some level he had the wisdom to, you know, to know what exactly she needed to eat, and then the telepathic communication is fascinating.
And the medical doctor, by the way, was quite amazed because most of her, you know, most of the pregnant women need to take vitamins and so forth. But she said, if I could just get other pregnant mothers to eat as good as you were eating, Beverly, my job would be easier. So, you know, Beverly was just amazed. And, of course, her husband was rather also surprised because she'd eat a meal and then she'd get off the grapes and cottage cheese and maybe some chocolate. And he'd say, gee, you just had a meal. Why are you? Well, this is what Taylor wants me to eat. Well, he wasn't Taylor yet, but she knew it was going to be her. Son. And so it's an extraordinary story.
This is all very fascinating information, and we're going to go to another quick break, but when we return, I'm going to hear from Elizabeth and Neil about why it is this is important information and how it can help to shift our world as we become more aware of these stories and more accepting of them. But we have to go to a quick break. More in just a few moments.
What is a master soul gardener? With Nomi Bahar, you can be one too. Her revolutionary Gates of Power method is a comprehensive program that addresses every aspect of yourself and gives you the tools to tend to the seeds of your soul's garden. Let Nomi guide you through and beyond what's holding you back and help you embrace the life you've always dreamed of. To learn more about upcoming classes and workshops, visit gatesofpower.com today.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
What if we really didn't have to die to go to heaven? Are you curious about the afterlife or rebirth? The highly anticipated new book from author Dr. Susan Allison, You Don't Have to Die to Go to Heaven, is available now. Find out how to find guidance and healing in the spirit realms. Order the book today and put it on your must-read list for 2016. Visit drsusanallison.com to learn more.
Welcome back to the Christine Epchurch Show. I always appreciate the music that you choose and how you get it to be topic related, Benny.
Well, who doesn't want Born to Be Wild? I mean, you're a wild woman right there, so you're just living it. You're speechless, I know, I can tell.
I'm a little confused, actually.
Why? You live wildly in your own way.
You're right.
Okay.
Through the expansiveness of looking at reality in a new way and experiencing reality in ways that are beyond the norm. So You're right. Born to be wild, we are indeed.
Hence my connection.
Yes. Thank you, Benny. Today, I am chatting with Elizabeth and Neil Carman, and we're talking about life before birth. Now, before we get into more conversation, and you've got some fascinating stories and interesting things to say, I want to share with our listeners what your website is, because I want them to be able to find their way to this research, find their way to these books.
CosmicCradle.com. is our website, and also we have a very active Facebook page, and I like to create all kinds of beautiful illustrations to go along with different stories or little snippets of stories to give people a taste of the book. So Facebook has a lot of activity and people commenting and sharing experiences on there. So it's Cosmic Cradle, Spiritual Dimensions of Life Before Birth on Facebook. So those are two good places to find us, and our book is available worldwide.
And, you know, that's actually the way I found my way to you guys. Now, we get inundated with requests from publicists, from authors, from speakers to be on the show. And so it's unusual that I just find my way to something, and it's like, kind of like this big, aha, I really have to talk to them. And this was one of those situations, because this is fascinating information. And one of the things I love about this is it's not just about putting people through some sort of psychological regression to have them remember. You are collecting stories where people have conscious memory of some fascinating pre-birth experiences. And my hat's off to you. As a former research statistician turned healer, you know, I appreciate people taking a more scientific approach.
Well, there's so much out there that just to limit it to the natural cases, we're overwhelmed. And if we were to start going into hypnosis and regression, you know, our books would never get done. So we are zooming in on that area, and we feel this is the more untainted, so to speak, area.
Right.
Because adults sometimes there's a lot of question marks about some of the things that come up in hypnosis. So we don't want to deal with the skeptical side of that part.
And it's not to say that it's not valid that if it comes up in hypnosis or through like psychological inner work, but it's just got a different kind of potential taint to it.
Yeah, so it's already a controversial subject, so we didn't want to make it any more controversial.
Mm-hmm. Right. So if there is this communication sometimes between the unborn, the spirit of the unborn and the parents, is there anything that expectant parents can do to kind of open themselves to encourage this kind of communication?
Well, I think definitely realizing that there is a conscious being in there is one of the first steps, and that parents can communicate. Be quiet and communicate to the child. Before conception, you can be doing communications, or once the pregnancy is confirmed and you know you have a baby in the womb, the mother can start talking directly to the child. I suggest laying the hands on the womb and communicating, you know, love to the child. I love you. Thank you for choosing me to be your mother.
Right.
I'm so looking forward to having you in my life, and just have a conversation and see what happens. Mm-hmm. You may be getting messages back if you're sensitive enough. Even if you're not getting messages back, sending these positive thoughts, that child inside of you, that growing child, is fully conscious, whether you believe that or not, but it will be picking up this positive message that you are sending it.
Yeah, and that brings up an important point about how conscious they are, and it's not just to the direct communication when you're speaking to them. Neil, you guys have some fascinating stories about how the babies in utero, the souls, are actually very aware of what's going on within the context of the family, and, you know, not just with the mother, but everything that's going on around. Do you have a story to share with us about that?
Let me think. Can you remember one? I've got so many stories in my head. Let me think. A story where the baby is in the womb and it knows, I know a good, very good one. It just popped into my mind which one we could share, and that is a woman today who's 30 years old, and she remembers this whole memory that I'm going to share you, and she first told her mother when she was 2 or 3 years old, Mommy, I was in your tummy twice. Oh, really? The mother said. Yeah, I was flushed down the drain, washed down the drain. Then I came out as a zipper. What? Mm-hmm. Anyway, as the child gets more vocabulary and articulate, it's able to explain that it recalls a miscarriage that took place when the mother was taking a shower and the baby was washed down the drain. It happened very early in the pregnancy.
Wow.
She remembered being in the womb the whole time in the second pregnancy that came a year later. She remembers the whole come out like a zipper.
Uh-huh.
It was a C-section.
C-section, yes.
And so she remembers all this, and she also told her mother she remembered why she was a boy and she came back as a girl. And she heard an argument that took place between the parents, and it was regarding what if it's a boy, we're going to do this. And the mother said, no, we aren't. So people could read the story for that.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty intense stuff. And so there was a big controversy, and the soul waiting to be born realized, if I come in as a boy, this marriage isn't going to last, and I want both these parents. So she came back as a girl. She chose the miscarriage, and she remembers going down that drain in the shower, looking up at her mother. Mother's washing her hair, and she said she felt herself go down the drain, and then the experience ended. She just ended, and then she was in an interlife state in a spiritual dimension where she was given an option to come back to these parents or four other sets of parents, and these were the only parents she would choose. She wouldn't even give the others the time of day. This was A++ in her book.
Uh-huh.
So she came back as a girl, and she remembers that to this day, and it's fully confirmed the mother had this miscarriage, and the mother remembers that shower when the baby, she felt something drop out of her body, and she looked down and she saw a white blob go down the drain, and she said, "Oh, it's the baby." She went to the doctor. The doctor confirmed it, and that was the morning after the argument with her husband. And so the pregnancy had been going very beautifully, all kinds of love and happiness going on, and then all of a sudden, the girl recounting the story said her world was rocked by this emotional. It was an outrageous argument.
Fascinating.
And so she was fully aware of that argument.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's one example I can share.
And she girl has the complete memories today. She's just a little over 30, and she still has the full blown memories of what happened to this very day. And it was remarkable to meet them and talk to them about all this, because the mother validates all of it.
Yes, yes. So Neil, I know that there's some other stories in your book about miscarriage. What sorts of communication goes on sometimes consciously between the mother and the soul of the child when a miscarriage is going to occur?
Well, we have a case of a boy who was hoping to get a little sister. And the mother was pregnant but lost the baby, and what happened is, obviously, the little boy catcher was communicating with this being, pregnant sister that she was going to have, but she miscarried. And before she told her little son that something had gone wrong, she was crying in the car after they had dropped the grandmother off at the airport. And he comforted her. The little boy comforted the mother, saying he knew what she was crying about and that not to worry, that the little girl was up in heaven.
Oh, wow.
And then, I don't know, sometime later, he came up to the mother. This is months later. And he put the TV remote control to the mother's belly. And she said, "What are you doing, catcher?" And he said, "Well, I'm talking to the little baby in there." And his sister said, "What are you talking about? I'm not pregnant." Well, a few days later, she turned out to be pregnant, and she wound up having a little girl, a little sister for catcher. So he was right on. He knew. Very
fabulous.
Psychic, although right now he's, I don't know, 7 or 8, and he doesn't remember this anymore.
Right.
But he was communicating with the little girl. Now, I don't think the one that came back after the miscarriage was the same.
It was a different one. He said that when he had the remote control.
Yeah.
She said, "Well, catcher, I told you there's not a baby in there anymore. There isn't one in there." He said, "No, Mama, it's a different baby.
Yeah,
it's a different baby this time."
Yeah.
So these children have this knowledge, and it's available to the parents if they become calmer and they meditate and they listen. Anyway, the communications lines are open all the time. But some people maybe have too much mental chatter, too much worry, and they need to have, you know, more patience, more calmness, more faith.
And perhaps open their minds to this possibility, because I think what happens is we get culturally, at least most cultures, and we'll talk more about cultures after the next break, but we in this culture are taught that certain things aren't true. And so many parents don't even think about it as, you know, the potential for being real.
Right. And the doctors don't believe this stuff either, although some of them are coming around.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's great. And I'm so glad that, you know, there's research, scientific research, that's starting to validate many of these fascinating aspects of the cosmic cradle. We have to go to another quick break, but more with Elizabeth and Neil Carman in just a few moments. I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean?
Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolved, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you're ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com. That's thefearandanxietysolution.com or call 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-MIND.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit StellarReflections.com. That's StellarReflections.com. Welcome back to the Christine Epchurch Show here on KKNW CRN and Transformation Talk Radio. I just love these songs that Benny comes up with, you know.
I actually impressed myself with that one,
yeah,
too.
I don't know that I've actually heard that song before.
Dave Edmonds, it was just kind of, it's a rare one, but it just seemed to fit perfectly,
yeah,
right?
It does. I know. I'm talking to Drs. Elizabeth and Neil Carman. And, you know, this is a fascinating book, and I haven't gotten all the way through it yet. Just got the book a couple of days ago, but I'm fascinated by these stories. And I think that we humans tend to learn best about reality through story. And one of the things I find so fascinating about your book and your research is the fact that it's not just about these individual stories. You have managed to connect it to cultural stories. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Just a little tidbit on that. After I had been doing some of the initial interviews, Neil said, well, why don't you go to the library? You might find some interesting, you know, cross-cultural information. I said, well, I don't want to go to an old dusty library and start digging through the stacks of books. Uh-huh. But then my curiosity got the best of me, and I thought, you know, that's probably a good idea. I'd like to know, have other cultures reported these experiences? Is this new to our age? And I started going to the library every week. And I just was amazed at everything I was finding. And the most significant one in terms of the spirit pre-birth communication comes from Australia, where there were probably 500 different tribal groups there, all very unique and different, and yet they shared this one concept, and that was that the father had to have contact with what they called a spirit child, mm-hmm, before the the wife or the mother could become pregnant. And when this was first discovered by the Westerners, they thought, well, these people are so primitive, they don't even understand how sex works and how babies come into the world.
Right.
They talk about spirit children and things like this. This is just absurd. We should just put them on a reservation and let them die in peace. This testifies that they're you know, the link between man and the ape. So there was a lot of prejudice against their beliefs and a lot of ridicule. And it came out later with more recent anthropological work that these people were actually more enlightened, and actually we also highlight them in our book. So it's not like it's widespread that people are recognizing this, but there were a few people that recognized it, as well as ourselves, that these native people were very close to nature. They were very intuitive, very psychic. They had all kinds of other things going on, communicating with people hundreds of miles away and knowing that another person had given birth to a baby or someone had died in the family. They had all kinds of experiences like that. And what happened is with the westernization of their country, they started to have a decrease of these experiences, which was documented by a German doctor right before World War II. Dr. Lummel went over to Australia, and he looked at the different cultural groups there. And there were those that were living, as, you know, fully assimilated into the Western culture. There were those who were living on missions. And then there were those who were still out in the outback,
right,
who are living the life they have always lived. And what he found is that those that were assimilated were having a population decline because they were not having spirit child dreams anymore. They said that we can't pick up the name. We can't hear it. We don't experience it. And they're saying, well, just have more sex with your wives. No, that's not it.
Yeah.
The spirit children actually were refusing to come in. And then in the case of those in the outback, they were having fewer dreams also, and they were having more visions of, you know, the impending doom of their culture.
Right.
And so that was a very interesting study that was done on that culture. Mm-hmm. And those people, when they were interviewed, their shaman says that we have been here. You Westerners say we have been here for 60,000 years, yet it's much longer. We have lived and kept the earth as it was on the first day. So they're saying that they're very...
and there's actually... Greg Braden talks about the scientific evidence that we humans have been around much longer. But, you know, we've just got about a minute and a half left. And, Neil, I really want to hear your perspective about why it is that this research that you two have been doing is so important now.
Well, it's really showing that there's a whole new world that is dawning. The realm where the heavens are around us, and these are opening up. They're getting closer and closer, and these children are sharing how there's you could say a two-way highway, okay, going up and coming back,
right?
And it's something that we all need to be aware of because we make that journey in our life. And so this is information that's very relevant about how we are born, where we come from, what we're doing here on Earth, and where we're going after this life.
Yeah, and I think if we have additional validation for being spiritual beings, and really this is what your research is doing. It's offering additional validation that we are truly spiritual beings. Then it seems like that's got to shift our own personal reality, which ultimately has to shift our the reality of our planet as well, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, and I think that some of the parents that we talk to go through amazing shifts in their consciousness as they learn about, you know, what the children tell them about miscarriage or, you know, their grandparents, whatever. The shift in the parents, in many cases, is quite remarkable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this, again, is a fascinating book, Cosmic Cradle, Spiritual Dimensions of Life Before Birth by Elizabeth and Neil Carman. Neil, Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining us here today. You know, I'm so excited about learning more, and I know you've got another book underway and doing a lot of research about children's memory. So you have to promise me to come back on the show when that book comes out.
We would love to. Thank you so much,
great.
Christine.
Thank you. Okay. And again, it's cosmiccradle.com, and I'm really enjoying this book, and I encourage you to check it out. And I want to thank you for joining us here today. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. And if you ever want to hear the archives, you want to listen to the show again, you want to listen to other shows, go to my new website, christineupchurch.com. That's christineupchurch.com. And go to the radio show page, because there's some fascinating shows, and this is going to be archived there as well. Thanks so much for joining us here today. I look forward to chatting with you again sometime soon. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to the Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.